And now a quick message from our sponsor. This special presentation on the Weekly Zoo is brought to you by From Techie Crafts, crafty stuff for the technical person in your life. Visit techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo to get your special discount. techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo. Welcome to the special edition of the Weekly Zoo. This is Stephen Clickford. I go by, sometimes I was once Stephen Ayotte, but I don't like that name because it rhymes with coyote, with people outside the New England area that don't know that Ayotte is supposed to be pronounced Ayotte, because apparently people have never heard of Senator Kelly unrelated to Stephen Ayotte, but whatever. Was once a Clickford, will always be a Clickford, even if there isn't a Clickford in my life. But since September of 2020, in the midst of COVID-19, trying to have a community support in my life of friends that I thought were friends when I grew up in Londonderry, I saw the true colors of being exploited by rich Caucasian people, and I will always hope harm on them. I hope they go to hell. They are Satan. They were they weren't creations of God. They are godless jerks, including the head of the Londonderry School District. Now, the theme of this program, this podcast, it's more a massaged version of a live stream on the Weekly Zoom. But from all intents and purposes, it's the people and individuals that make things deplorable. However, sometimes institutions like school districts would do that. And I had talked about the Londonderry School District, but I did it on very fringy portals like MySpace and Facebook Notes. You don't normally talk about deep issues on those platforms. But now, 10 years later after I moved, I really realized that I didn't give enough bashing to Londonderry like I should have. I really should go full frontal and kick these people in the nuts through my words and in this podcast, and to see how deplorable these people really are. And you're despicable, selfish, narcissistic, sadistic, and really malicious groups of people, plastered as angels. Nathan Greenberg was a cover boy in a trade magazine for the school superintendent's world. He was at some apple tree, probably Max Apples, and he was the headline was called Nate the Great. Hence, that's where he got his nickname. However, Nate wasn't so great. He was just as bad as Elliot, well, I shouldn't say that name, but more of Andrew Cuomo or Patterson. This guy was originally from the Bronx, came to Londonderry in the year 2000 approximately, I can't remember which year, and had been in the district for roughly 16 school years, in fiscal years. He sounds like freaking Janet Yellen. If you have watched CNBC during the Obama administration and heard Janet Yellen with her special voice, that's what Nate Greenberg sounds like. Really irritating. Greenberg was one of those, what we would call, elitist people. He took probably about $1 million to $2 million in 2021 dollars, with his ridiculous salary at the school district. Lived in a house, according to town property data, valued at $300,000 about the time when I moved out. Don't know if it went up or down. At least he lived in Londonderry. Give him credit. He really cared about the school district, but only the people that went to his district. Anyone that was classified out of district was out of his mind, including the people that worked below him. Prior to his arrival at the Londonderry School District, people that were out of district for very extreme reasons that were out of individuals' control, The person that was running the special ed department was the one that would go to the out-of-district programming. That might be miles, could be tens of miles, it could be another county or two, but they went. But things changed. The school district wanted to be more efficient, so they split the roles between a district-wide special ed pupil services manager, and then there was a coordinator. The coordinator's role was the one to go out of district, representing the interests of the school district, not the student in question. I was in high school when all this change happened. I started high school in the fall of 2002. And I really learned early on that I felt like an outsider. I lived in Londonderry. I spent a lot of time at home in my hometown, but just not in my schools. I was commuting to Massachusetts and the far end of Rockingham County, of which the people on the other end of Rockingham County didn't know what part of the planet I was in. I felt so isolated. None of the people really knew much about Londonderry. All I knew was the seacoast world. You know, this divisiveness of New Hampshire and turf wars has always been this way. It's deplorable. At some point, we'll talk about Seacoast Learning Collaborative, that corrupt company, which is it's a for-profit entity, for all intents and purposes. It was a parochial school. I hated private school. You're treated like a prisoner when you go to a parochial school in New Hampshire. I would assume the same thing if you went to a Catholic school, because they're really strict. So, for those 6 years, from year 2002 to 2008, I was out of district. There were, and I'm going to be really honest, I had thought of going back to the district, and I was a flip-flopper. But I'm glad I didn't make those decisions, because those peers would have been really traumatic socially. I needed to be out of the typical environment. I had a sense that these people were bad. I called my peers young punks. But that's a whole nother discussion. I talked about it in the pre-show, the hour-long pre-show. But Nate Greenberg was also a man who we need to be really aware of what he did. This guy wasn't just a cover boy in a trade magazine. He was a man who exploited laws in the state of New Hampshire to protect towns smaller than Londonderry, New Hampshire's population. And he exploited it to the fullest extent. He took it to the New Hampshire Supreme Judicial Court. And he won in the various suits to claim of adequate education. Greenberg was basically a salesman working for the Londonderry School District. Not only that, he was abusing the cable franchise agreement with Adelphia and later Comcast. The rules in the franchise agreement is not to be using the Educational Access Channel to put opinions or what I would argue was commercial programming. The Londonderry School District School Board was corrupt as fuck. And to deny it means that you're in it. Or you have people that you care, you want to cover their ass. The school board meetings, really from my early adult years, went for about 2.5 hours. A town government meeting was often twice as long, especially during budget seasons. Really from the end of October to February, when you would go to town meeting, because that's when Londonderry still had the town meeting on the town side. A lot of the school board members were laughing. It was like a sitcom on those off Monday nights or Thursday nights, I forget. Because I live in this other town, I'm probably conflating the two towns. but it was like a sitcom. One member would make a worldwide joke, and the whole room would go to 60 decibel on. The mixer probably broke a few times for the Londonderry Access Center, because they were so fucking loud with their laughter. Drunk on their own laughter, mind you. If laughter was a substance. The school board literally acted like a board of directors, literally okaying everything that executive management proposed. No questions asked, coincidentally. RSA-91A was never compliant at the Londonderry School District at the time as I was a student and a resident. They would try to avoid using RSA-91A and play the confidentiality card. Now, I want to be really clear. Confidentiality is very important. Students' grades should not be public. Students' special ed funding that has an identifiable information should be redacted. But everything else that regards to public tax dollars should be public information. The school's budget was thicker than the town budget, ironically. The books were in binders, in 2-inch binders, if I'm not mistaken, and they averaged 1,000 pages. Now, in their defense, the budget books were really comprehensive. But those are budgets. Those aren't actual expenditures. That goes into your annual report that you go with your accounting firm. Now, the Londonderry School District, when I was a student and an early adult, which meant that I was no longer in the district, so this would have been 21 to 23, used the federal government, the GAO, the Government Accountability Office standards. But by this point, Enron happened. You had reforms on public and private sectors to use the generally acceptable accounting practices, or right, GAAP. The school district didn't use GAAP until probably recently. I'm not sure if they do or not. But there's another level of accounting, because I'm kind of geeking out on municipal government. But there's also the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, or CAFRs. Now, these documents are about 100 pages, maybe 200 if you count the CAFRs, and they're really thick. But it's basically Excel sheets printed out with balance sheets of the school government. Because in New Hampshire, we have equal separation of power laws, which means the town council can't run the water district. The water district can't tell the teachers what they can do. And the library is supposed to be a firewall in terms of governance, even though they're a town agency, or city for that matter. So for the Londonderry School, The average Londonderry resident thought that when they write their checks every 6 months, it was going to one body. But under the state law, the town government's tax collector acts as the collections agency to receive that tax dollars and give a full check to the school district. Think of the town's tax department as really like a large-scale Visa for two customers, the town and the credits, right? Think of it that way. But they had to explain it that way to people that were making more than $200,000 working 40 miles away out of state most nights, and they just couldn't have the time to understand municipal government. Don't get me started with those people. But that's the real world for you. So CAFRs in GAAP accounting practices weren't done in the Londonderry School District. So you didn't know where your $70 million was going to. Now, Londonderry wasn't asking $70 million of the town. They got subsidies from the state and federal. But they got a lot of money from the state, and it goes back to that adequate education that Nathan Greenberg exploited. I was at South School, South Londonderry School, when the whole Claremont thing happened. Governor Jean Shaheen at the time introduced her reform as the ABC plan. The way it worked was that the bigger towns would put money in the state pot, and then the state would distribute the money to the towns that would need it the most. Okay, the basics. Near relevant textbooks. A good physical infrastructure. Safety equipment, stuff like that. Stuff for schools to be good enough so they can be accredible, so those people in Claremont could compete against a Londonderry, New Hampshire student. Now, to be fair, I had driven by Claremont on one of my trips, and I wasn't living in Londonderry at the time. Claremont is a rough town. I don't know if it's a city. I think it's a city. It could be a town. It's a small city, regardless. And I think it's a city because the main street is a little bit longer. You don't have to blink and you'll miss the town. But if you do blink driving on the main roads of Claremont, you're going to see some ghetto. It's Caucasian ghetto, but still ghetto. And no offense to those people. Okay, Claremont was the epicenter in the reform of funding the New Hampshire public school system. Meanwhile, I don't know, 60 miles away, you know, southeast, Londonderry, New Hampshire, in the 2000s, took every letter of the law or the spirit of the rule and used it to their advantage. And meanwhile, towns like Claremont got screwed, or other towns that were in dire need of a better infrastructure. Because the rest of New Hampshire isn't all about Londonderry. Want that to be very clear. Now, another part with this adequate education was during the school board deliberative session, because they used the SB2 government system, which was the ballot, just like you do in November in the federal and the general elections. They wanted to turn municipal stuff on the same level as electing a president and electing a governor on every annual basis. Greenberg would go to the school board deliberative sessions and pimp his plans. Okay, he would put the PowerPoints and tell you how the budget they request and use the state minimal. He always was under the state minimal. So if this district's budget was $70 million for a town of per capita like Londonderry versus the state minimal was a little bit higher. But he also used the state minimal mixing in with how you elect the budget, default budget. So a lot of people who didn't understand municipal government got screwed because Nate knew that the rest of the town was stupid. So in the SB2 system, because all it is literally vote by ballot, technically speaking, under the state of New Hampshire law. It's actually managed by the Secretary of State. I thought the DRA, the Department of Revenue Administration, oversees it. No, it's literally the same guy that does the primary and general election. Okay, that's big stuff, big compliance stuff. It's a nightmare for a town issue. Mr. Gardner should not be overseeing this stuff. And I don't like SB2. I like the town meetings. I've said this on a previous episode on the Weekly Zoo. So when you have a budget, it's a yes or no question. You vote for the amended budget and a default budget. A default budget means it's literally the same budget as the previous year, plus all commitments to unions and leases and other fees if you reject the budget. Now, if you reject the budget and you go with the default budget, you can then have another election to fix that. Yep, thank you to those transplant me assholes in 1995 to pass this speech. Thank you so much for fucking up the municipal stuff. So Greenberg would mix the state minimal budget, the state minimal, and then use the default budget or something like that. He's playing with numbers in the literal, the deliberative session. So this is where residents can yay or nay stuff when it goes to the ballot. So there's still kind of like a town meeting part. But Nate did not so great use another way to circumvent voters. Again, remember, this is overseen by the Secretary of State. There was a quorum put by Mr. Greenberg to prevent the minority of the evil conservatives that wanted to take down the school district, allegedly speaking. Now, logically speaking, the deliberative session is not really the board. The board is not doing anything at this point. The citizens are basically the board. So theoretically, you want to make sure you have enough people to make a quorum to make a decision, like you would do in a board meeting. There are some towns in New Hampshire where there's 3-member boards. If a member can't make it to the meeting has to be canceled because you don't have a quorum. Again, there's more to New Hampshire than Londonderry. So, the problem was that was illegal, and it was brought to the court, and the court didn't see anything wrong with it. Wonder how much money Londonderry paid the judge to favor them, or found a judge in Rockingham County in the state of New Hampshire to get what he wanted. And his legal people got everything. This guy was a spoiled, rotten brat, making almost $1 million in his career at the Londonderry School District in New Hampshire. This guy was a fucking crook. And it's unbelievable what he did and how he would use the law to his advantage and disadvantage people who were critical of the school district. And they were not allowed to speak. Meanwhile, low-information voters thought that the way to make change was to put everything through a ballot. SB2 neutralized the idea of communal democracy, which meant, I understand it's 200 years old and it's dated and all that, but again, with COVID-19, it's probably going to kill SB, the traditional town meeting, which really sucks. I always loved town meeting. I was glad that I went at least twice in my legal age to vote with my hand, with my card, and never did many of the secret ballots. I hated the secret ballots. People were just too afraid. They were too pussies. They're too much of a pussy. But the election in March was always for the school district, not for the town government. People would bitch to the town about the school district when it was. And now a quick message from our sponsor. Monday on Channel 6 News at 5, it's back to school shopping season again. Find out new apps you can save money for your children without breaking the bank on Channel 6 News at 5 in the Sierra Copenhagen CCLP TV. Is it legally in their power? We're not a city. If you have an alderman and you live in Manchester, Nashua, they run the school district. The mayor is actually the head of the school board too. We don't have heads of school boards in the towns with councils or selectmen. So you have to think about that too, that the way that the Londonderry School District had this much power on the people, you have to also make a legal case that children were voting. I'm not saying that little kids were underneath the ballot box with their mother, you know, or father circling the bubbles. I'm not saying that. But when you start putting a lot of rules that favor the children and giving money to kids that can't say yes or no, is just wrong. It's more of a morality thing than an ethical or legal thing. I also remember when the town side of the government wanted to run things like the school district in terms of going to an electoral system. Some people were resisting it. I was one of those people because I didn't like how the Londonderry School District was trying to squelch people. Because let me tell you, the 2 times I went to school board deliberative sessions, I left. Because if there's not enough people voting, why be there? If you don't have 500 people, they later amended it to 250, and even that's not even a quorum. Friday night, people are going to their sporting events with the Lancers. They just canceled or just put it on another day if you really care about your democracy. Nate Greenberg was an autocrat. And people just were too scared. They were afraid of libel suits. They were afraid of lawyers. They were afraid. And I was one of those people. But, you know, time has gone on. Time doesn't heal all wounds. And I think it's time that people need to know that the Londonderry School District was corrupt as fuck. And many of those people got a free education from people from Conway to Claremont to Concord to Chichester. Don't really care about what they got in grade school because they got to college, they're paying off the college debts, their parents moved out of New Hampshire. And you know what? If I was managing DRA, I would go on the internet and look at every Londonderry, New Hampshire resident, find where they are, and give them a fucking bill, a one-time bill to pay the school district. Because we as adults have to pay to this day, because the Londonderry School District has a lot of debt that I think now in 2021 it's probably expiring or it's going to expire. And this district did really shitty spending. They were literally a tax and spend school district. And you know I hate that word because in previous episodes I pissed on that. But the Londonderry School District did a lot of leasing. Leased smart boards because they wanted it so badly. They wanted toys. They're so fucking entitled to the point that they wanted an ambulance at the Londonderry High School for all their athletic stuff, that it was putting a strain for the rest of the town. Londonderry, the town side, because they were so screwed over, they were spending too much money. Because again, people didn't look at it as two separate governments or two separate bills that were going to get split. They wanted the town government to be cut. When I left, it was about a $25 million budget with 96% commitments to unions and payroll. 4% was for everything else in town. That's unbelievable. For a town of the square mileage and the population, the amount to finance that government was under if I were to look at it from a practical view. The town government was set to fail. The school district were angels. No one ever criticized the school district. Not even on the blogs. So much. Except for the town government. There was a lot of anons behind the blogs. I don't know how many of those people were legit or people that were working in the system or what. But I don't care. I'm not someone that wants to make everything run like a Fortune 500 corrupt enterprise, because there's a lot of focus that the town of Londonderry was spending so much money that you need to run like a business. Because when you work at HP or not using them, or GE or whatever, it's or Kronos or whatever fancy ass private sector south of the border, they were doing everything inefficiently. The school district was really efficient. No one had the gonads or the tits to tell the SAU how to manage. No one had any guts whatsoever. Now, in New Hampshire, we have laws where the two boards can meet for efficiencies, the neighborly governments in your own town, they're separate. So you had joint school board and town council meetings. But when I was about phasing into adulthood, there was a huge focus on the school district and the town to synergize their resources. A few things that were brought up was the Community Access Center to be run by the school district, which would have been really bad. That issue got so heated, it was a standing room only. And I know the Aaron was in that room, that the lady still works there. It was a very heated room. I actually didn't really know Aaron that much. We actually met after that meeting and we exchanged cards. And that's when I started. That was after, I'm trying to remember the year. I was just getting out of school and I was unemployed, obviously. So I started to learn Final Cut Pro after that heated debate whether the school district should take full control of managing the cable access center, and basically almost they were this close for the school district to have it only for kids, not for the adults. Nate Greenberg was, he didn't say it, but he said, you know, everyone's got handy cams, everyone's on YouTube, we don't need the LAC. Again, I came from a low middle class family. I had just bought my first modern MacBook, the low end MacBook, the second gen Intel MacBook. Yeah, it had a FireWire port. Couldn't really do much beyond iMovie, which would have been my, and I didn't have a video camera. I just got a digital camera, okay? It was a techie, but it was almost in a professional sense. So that was what Nate Greenberg was saying. He was thinking the future, you don't need an access center, but look at what YouTube is today. It's a cesspool of elitist content creators and YouTube training the lower end content creators like children. Where's Nate Greenberg for comment on that now? We need public access facilities more than ever. And the FCC pulled favored Comcast and these other companies because they were using the franchise fees to finance the town governments. It's a very controversial subject. I have my own views, and I believe we need to have the First Amendment rights. That's what the purpose, the ethos of franchise fees is in public access. In fact, the chairman of the town council left. He handwrote a letter with his resignation. Part of that meeting was not recorded for whatever reason. Either the DV cam tape failed or what. It was unbelievable. On just the freaking public access center. Another thing that the school district looked at trying to get control of to help out the town was the finance HR department. I never spoke it publicly because I was not confident at the time, but the school district was corrupt. They were very private with how they were spending your money. It was none of your business. You couldn't even go to the school district office to be someone that you knew for many years for security reasons, privacy reasons. It's a fucking public building. This is not a federal office. It's a municipal building, and to keep people out is, you're hiding something. I don't want to talk about insurrection because it's not, it's a fucking, it was a clam shack building, as Greenberg would say. So that's something I didn't like. So I thought the town side had an open and compliant finance department, to only find out the town got duped with the town government by 2013, which really sucked. But I didn't want the school district to be a virus in replicating on the town government in the town hall we had just built just a few years before in 2005. IT, no. The school district didn't like them. And there were other things that I understood. It was co-op trying to reduce the administrative cost for the salaries and the unionization and all that good stuff. I just didn't want the Lenoir School District that almost worked like a private company running the school and run it very corrupt, because that was what Nate Greenberg's legacy is. He was so corrupt. I didn't know how he could put on his trousers without a corkscrew. He was very, 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 very corrupt. And you cannot discount that. That guy was corrupt. And there was a lot of shenanigans going on at the Lenoir School. I'm surprised they didn't never declare bankruptcy or anybody getting investigated by the state. I mean, it's when you're a whistleblower, your life is on the line. You can actually be prosecuted for blowing the whistle. You have to just say it on the interwebs. I was not a happy student at the Lenape School District. I had threatened legal action, which was just words, but I learned that words do have meaning. President Trump should be aware of that. The school district was, like I said, corrupt, and they really were just so entitled to use the town resources and make sure that kids, underage people, non-consensual individuals that could not vote, could not have the right to vote, could ask for anything, and we could pay them, fund them, finance them. When you get out of the bubble, you see how really bad things were in Londonderry, New Hampshire in the 2000s to the mid-2010s. This district was so fucking corrupt. Again, I need to repeat you, their budget at one point was $70 million. Again, that was matched by state and federal, so the town was probably on the hook. I don't know how much. I have to go look it up, and I'm not in the mood to look up all the stuff because it's in the past. But again, Nate Greenberg was just crooked. It got to the point where there was so much special ed people coming back that he put more focus on the special ed population than the general ed, which I thought was a little bit narrow-minded. But I was invested there and I felt I was robbed. The reason why I got involved in the system, because I had a natural interest in local government, but also I was a student for part of that time, an illegal individual. And when you mix and being in injustice with the public school system as an adult, aging out of the system by 3 more years, you start to act more like a resident than you are of a student. And I did not like how the school district was running. I did not like how they were running it. They were corrupt as fuck. And they had no shame. When I left in 2010, the school board meetings were no different when I was living there. 2 hours or less. Laughter is the best medicine. No public questions. I do think that people did discuss it in private or via email, which is pursuant to RSA 91A. And in fact, somebody violated RSA 91A by accident. Because if you send an email to a school district owned domain and you are a board member and you carbon copy multiple individuals that meet the quorum, even if it's an email, it's considered a meeting. And according to RSA 91A, that's pursuant to public information. The school district has an obligation to share that conversation. I have not looked at RSA 91A in recent months or years, but I used to know the law literally from front to back. One of the few autistic traits I have. Because I thought RSA 91A was the most important law for democracy in the state of New Hampshire, especially in an electronic age where everyone's emailing. And that's where I had feared that a lot of the business and a lot of the critical questions and critical decisions were done over the phone or done through voicemail or things that they would circumvent RSA 91A to anything to their advantage. There's one other thing about Nate Greenberg that he did. He got rid of the trades. Alvern is the only school in that area that does trade schools. In fact, to the point, Londonderry would transport students to Alvern. Nathan Greenberg believed in the knowledge worker economy and got rid of all the jobs, all the woodworking stuff, the home ec stuff. So most of my peers don't know how to sew. Most of my peers are going out and eating and getting drunk out in public. They don't know how to build stuff. All I know is all these fancy abstract shit. So we had roughly 4,500, 4,000, 3,800, whatever. Because it depends on what year you want to consider the first millennials and when Nate got in his grubby paws and destroyed the school district's ethos. A generation, at least for sure, can't really do anything meaningful because they taught them a lot of advanced thinking skills. Why do you need to go to college? You're already learning college and school. You're just continuing to drain on the resources. Education is a drain on resources. Special education, that's a whole nother thing. It should be run more like a welfare system, because with the welfare environment, which special ed legally is not, is protected under IDEA, which means they can bullshit you into hopelessness. To put it in simple terms, the IDEA can give you virtually anything you want. Whereas when you go into college or the real world, you're protected under the ADA, where you have to meet reasonable accommodations. And that's how the welfare system theoretically works, okay? So the IDEA is the worst thing to happen in schools. And Londonderry was throwing a lot of resources on IDEA, and these people are like training adults, and everything that they had gotten in school won't work in the real world. You can make your own conclusions there. But that's basically the essence. It's about, what am I on, 40 minutes on tape right now. Really, that was basically what Nathan Greenberg had done. Just getting rid of traditions in the name of progress. He was a very progressive liberal. You could tell. He put Londonderry on the map to the whole world. Actually, when the airport access road in Londonderry, because it's in the jurisdiction of Londonderry, I thought the Lancers were doing the honors, musical honors, to only find out it was Tomahawks, a mice stomping ground now of Merrimack. Oops, I thought Londonderry cared about their own town. I mistaken the Tomahawks and the Lancers. Oops, made a mistake in 2011. Just didn't look close enough. But no, they like to go to China. They like to go to New York City. They can't get enough. You know, Mr. Susie and the Marching Lancers, all that great shit. Probably paid by the rich parents. I'm not going to say that was taxpayer funded. But enough to put Londonderry on the map. And you know what? Mr. Susie was probably paid by people from various parts of the state, not from people within the town. Didn't know that gentleman. I just know him from reading the papers because I was an outsider. I felt like an outsider. Now the district student at that time felt like he was totally isolated. I felt like it was a sentence for a long time before I realized that my mother was the one that pulled me out of the district. I was lied to by the staff in the other district programs because they didn't know the whole story. I forgot. Had a lapse of moment of memory. But one of my out-of-district programs in Massachusetts really did get some corrupted behavior. There was about $1 million that was unaccounted for. They had mixed agencies. There were people older than 22 in a work program, and they were funding the school age stuff. So the Mass CDS was inadvertently funding the school age stuff. That's pretty bad, from what I've heard from people familiar to the situation. Londonderry in itself has robbed a lot of money, and for me to crunch numbers, put it in Excel, try to figure out where the money is, the creative accounting, because it's very apparent that the Londonderry School District was doing creative accounting. Accounting cannot be creative. Sharon Watkins, the Enron whistleblower, has said that for years. You cannot be creative in accounting. but the Londonderry School District did, between mixing state minimal standards from the DRA with the default budget that you're voting for. Those are two different things. The default budget is defined by law what you budgeted the last year automatically. The state minimum budget is coming from Department of Education of an opinion of a hack in Concord. And he won for 17 years, roughly. He was a carpetbagger from the Bronx. He's a Yankees fan. What is he doing here in Red Sox country? But yes, I felt like a low-class citizen. I felt very alienated, and I started to have real betrayal and hatred to Londonderry even when I was still a resident. I lived there for 23 years, longer than my peers. I actually lived there longer than my peers. And I was loyal to a town that wasn't loyal to me. My peers didn't really care for anything other than apple orchards or any other like social. There wasn't a lot of social gathering in Londonderry except for like the old home day parade and shit like that. And now a quick message from our sponsor. This special presentation on the Weekly Zoo is brought to you by From Techie Crafts, crafty stuff for the technical person in your life. Visit techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo to get your special discount. techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo. I just wish I never had to witness this kind of shit. I wish I never had to witness this. It's disgusting. That school district was corrupt as fuck. And to deny it, you must be really rich and have a lot of disposability at your convenience. Anthony Scaramucci has told the press, this is the guy that, the only Trump cabinet member that had the shortest amount of time of 11 days, said very often to the media over the last year that he was an aspiring blue collar class individual. In fact, that was what I was when I grew up in Londonderry. I was like the mooch. I wanted to be, well, it wasn't a blue collar town, but aspired to be an upper middle class individual. Or maybe he said aspiring middle class. I forgot what he said offhand because I'm on the air and I'm forgetting things. But forgive me. But I always aspired to be like my peers. And I was denied by my peers. And this deep hatred will go on for me till I die. Because I was denied by my peers. Typical Caucasian, sometimes African American. I had a friend that was African American. She lives in Austin, Texas. It's a nice city. I've been there. I wish that they had one of the best state houses. It was the first state house I ever went to was in Texas. They was big as fuck. And I was 12 years old around that time where perception from children or adult begins. But I had a lot of these peers that I aspired to be, and I wasn't good enough for them. I have 80% potential, so I overlap them 80%, but they can only relate to the 10%, maybe 90%, right? Let me do the math better. 90% potential with a 10% overlap, 20%. So the only thing that we have in common is family, friends, in name only, and birthdays that they only find out through Facebook. That's it. While I can understand what goes on in their intellectual bubble, they don't acknowledge. That's what it was like to interact with peers as we grew older. we grew so apart to the point I hate them and I hope they go to hell. And I know that they're sex, they had done sex and drugs, probably some, and a lot of alcohol, not rock and roll, because one of them liked old rock music. He listened to BCN, so, they were fucking, fucking around, hoping they can get an STD and drop dead. I wish them on them. I hate them so much. I hate them. And the idea that I don't have any remorse for saying I hate them tells you a lot. Speaking about alt rock music, there's another dirty little secret under Nate Greenberg's leadership of SAU-12 was WLOLP. So the FCC has those educational licenses for those low power FM for community radio stations. So you don't make it easier to not do pirated radio. But it costs money, and it was covering mostly the northern part of town. And there were still a lot of people out of district, and we were denied of those resources. We were denied to go to LHS for any resources. We were turned away. I witnessed it. The middle school is a little bit different, but the high school denied us in every way. There was policies, unwritten rules. Could not graduate with my original graduating class, whether it was in 05, 06, or even when I technically graduated in 08. My name and likeness is underneath a text saying, picture not available. Talk about a bitch slap. So, WLLO, how much that costs? And again, you have to look at, again, from a welfare perspective, you can't have too many ritzy stuff, right? When the public is funding you, right? So, a lot of the equipment that they had was, I will tell you, there was a Wheatstone console. I looked at some pictures on Twitter, and I fucking hate Wheatstone. I just mentioned that today. I slashed their tires on my Facebook. They're elitist cunts. I'll make sure I put that in the description later. Wheatstone, elitist crap. Now, they were donated, but you have to put an insurance policy on them. And Nate Greenberg was behind that. And whoever was running the finance firm, I forget his name. It was Mr. Carwell, I think it was his name. Who was working in the town for a number of years, too. But, yeah. They played a lot of rock music, and it was just a very sunny town. They wanted their kids to be affluent. That's what the parents want. They pushed the school district. The school district broke New Hampshire state laws for adequate education. And what one of Jean Shaheen's, and I'm going to be really honest, she tried, but got abused by the municipalities. Took advantage of the loopholes, used the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. That's what a loophole is. You take the law that you know that's vague, interpret it, get a good lawyer, get a good judge, get what you want. And this man won every time. And he got to the Supreme Court in one of the decisions. I think it was around 18, I think, or 21, I forget. Yep. That's New Hampshire local New Hampshire poly for you. So that's it. Don't know where Nate Greenberg is. I'm not interested in his whereabouts. I don't care about the Lanier School District. I'd like to see this school district declare bankruptcy at some point, because at one point they wanted money. They wanted money so bad that they had a low student population, because none of the millennials could afford to live in Londonderry, that to the point where they were trying to get Auburn and North Manchester to come to Londonderry High, pay to basically act as a mini Pinkerton, which is a private entity, mind you. I have to remind you that Pinkerton is a private entity, funded mostly by the neighboring towns. But Londonderry wanted to keep doing Pinkerton, And that was in the early 20-teens when most millennials were hating New Hampshire. They posted on Facebook that they hate New Hampshire. You know, that should be hate speech. They should be in jail. They should be fined and they should be on a registry. You know, the rest of the state paid for your fucking education. You have no appreciation or loyalty. Fuck you. So that's it. Good riddance. Fuck you, Wanandari. Hope you all die from AIDS, cancer, and all that. For all the students graduating 1998, 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2004, 2005, yep, my class, 2006, secondary, 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12. You should all be eradicated from this planet. I hate you all. Goodbye.
Monday on Channel 6 News at 5, it's back to school shopping season again. Find out new apps you can save money for your children without breaking the bank on Channel 6 News at 5 in the Sierra Copenhagen, CCLP TV.